Amen. That's good singing. I don't care where you're from. Amen. All the way around. All that. They got singing like that in Montana? They don't have it? Yeah. That's no wonder you're down here. I want to preach tonight on, if you don't like Montana, you can go straight to Texas. No. I don't know. I was thinking about Lucas there. You know, we've got to get the group together, can take and fill in. Does it matter if they're pretty or just young men? Does it matter if help on your group? You know, there's a song Tanner sang. Somebody sang. We'll get that worked up too. Wait and see what I'm telling you right now. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, that was excellent all the way around. No? It is or not? It's not? How about now? How about that? Good. Thank you. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Psalm tonight, in the book of Psalm. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, I appreciate all the good Southern gospel singing that we have here. God has just blessed us and flooded us with talent from within and from without. And we bless the Lord for it and all that business there. Take your Bible to the book of Psalm chapter number 5. Psalm chapter 5. And as you look in verse 11, if you're able to stand, then do that. We'll read that one passage there, maybe two. He says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them, and let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and thou wilt compass him as with a shield. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you now for the good songs of Zion. We thank you, Lord, for the good talent you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for letting us be able to lift our voice in praise and thanksgiving unto thee. Now save the lost, we pray, and lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to say to you that every day that goes by, we're a little bit closer to the other side. One of these days, we're going to leave this world. You know, the Bible promises that we can live 70, and yet, you know, it may be 80 if you go above that, and yet there's going to be a whole lot of days, you know, there's going to have some aches and pains and this and that. I'll just read it to you. It's in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 90, and it's in about verse number 10, and there's a passage there that you ought to look at. You may want to remember it for down the road somewhere. Let me say to you, nobody and nothing is forever unless you know the Lord. Psalms 90, verse number 10, said, the days of our years are 70. That's 70 years right there. And if by reason of strength they go 80, that's 80. Yet is there strength in labor of sorrow, for he said it is soon cut off, and look, and we fly away. I want to preach a little while tonight on ready to fly or ready to fry. One or the other. If you don't fly away one of these days when your time is over, then you'll be frying. I got to tell you right now, and I'm not talking about over there at McDonald's as a cook or bottle washer and all that business there. I'm talking about dying without the Lord. And if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. And let me tell you right now is that nobody wants to see a loved one. You know, out of all the years that I've been in the ministry, I've never had anybody that ever died. They always want you somehow or another to be able to preach an influential message to where their loved one that's in that coffin went to heaven. I've never had anybody say, hey, I want you to preach hell real and heaven real and hell hot, and I don't want you to insinuate at all that my loved one went to hell. Well, let me tell you right now, I don't make an insinuation one way or the other. I try to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and the only way of salvation to people that are alive. You know, when a person dies, it's already settled. Let me tell you, that's why God said, you know, where the tree falleth, there shall it be, or shall it lie, so something like that. In other words, it's too late when you leave this world without God. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it. It won't matter if it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. It won't matter how pretty that you are, how handsome that you may be. I'm going to tell you, if you live without God and die without God, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched, and you're going to spend it through eternity without God. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you're going to find that we'd better take a good look at ourselves in the light of the Scripture. The Bible said that the wicked rejoice to do evil. You and I all rejoice that we can do right. I got to tell you right now, I don't know about you, but it does my heart good. I look around across here and I see many of these boys and girls, in fact, all of them, if you're under 31 years old, and I was here before you ever got born. I've seen you come into the world. I've seen you grow up and become a talented person for the cause of Christ. And what a blessing that is. What a wonderful thing that is. I'm telling you right now, when you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find we've got a lot of reason to rejoice. A lot of times, we don't want to be honest. I was talking about, and I was trying to think about that old boy that was a preacher. And in talking about honesty, talking about, all of a sudden, he went to a barber. And, of course, the guy smelled of liquor every time he went. But he was trying to witness to this man that was a barber, and he smelled like a liquor bucket. And he was trying to win and be influential. And, of course, the guy would take that razor out and whenever he is about two or three sheets in the wind, and he'd get ready to trim up the preacher around his ears, with that razor. And needless to say, the preacher got a little nervous about it. And finally, he was all sucked up. One day he was there, and, man, he smelled like a brewery. And, boy, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden we're talking about not facing up what you are. And all of a sudden, the guy with his hand and his liquor smell, he nicked the preacher. And the preacher said, "Oh, my, look what happened. Look what you've done." He said, "You see what drinking liquor does for you?" And the barber said, "Made your skin tender, didn't it?" He didn't want to take the blame for himself, did he? Let me tell you something. You'll never get washed by the blood and born into the family of God, made whole in Jesus Christ, until you're honest about yourself and about your need for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, we've got a reason to rejoice because of the righteousness of God and because of the fact that we're part of the redeemed. And let me tell you right now is we ought to rejoice because we've been saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. You're here tonight, and I'm thinking about, can you remember when God came knocking on your heart's door and you opened up by faith and trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, and He changed your life, saved your soul, snatched you as a brand from the burning? Yes, well, if you can't remember that, I'm hoping that one day soon you'll come to know Him like that. Yes. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that He talked about being saved and He talked about a shout. The reason why we ought to shout over in Psalm 32, there's a passage there concerning it, and you can read it later on, but you can find out that in Psalm 32 and about verse number 1, here's the reason why we ought to be willing to shout, is because our transgressions have been forgiven. I was thinking about, and every now and again you'll run upon somebody, and I've had people, try to tell me in days gone by, "I've just lost my shout." Why, did you lose forgiveness? If your transgressions have been forgiven, if your soul has been saved, yes, you've got somebody to shout about and somebody to shout in. I was thinking about in this lesson that you'll find that all of heaven rejoices with us when we come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Remember there over there in the book of Luke, whenever he talked about that, he left the 90 in the night and he went and found the one lost sheep and brought it back into the fold. Remember that? I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, that heaven, all of heaven, rejoices when a person gets born into the family of God. Now, we live in a world, somehow or another, that just does not care one way or the other what God says. Now, isn't that amazing that the Lord can let us choose to believe it or not believe it? But let me tell you right now, what a sad day that'll be if you die without the Lord. What a sad day that's going to be. I got to tell you right now is I've got saved by the grace of God, and I want to shout forever. And I'm not always making a whole lot of noise. I've had people in some of these camp meetings, and I told you about it probably in days gone by, a lot of that hoopla and just people feeling good and just shouting on the credit and all that. I used to sit by some of them, but anyhow, I would sit by some of those people there, and especially at these camp meetings, and they'd have a chain reaction shout. And I was sitting there by a fellow that I'd known for years, and I said, you believe any of this is real? Is it programmed? What? Oh, no. He said, I think it's probably real. I said, well, let me show you some of it programmed. I'm fixing to go ahead and get this whole crowd right here to shouting and all that right there. And so it wasn't long until finally I ripped it out and said, hallelujah, and shouted. And son, I just went chain reaction all the way down every row. And let me tell you, I'm not knocking that. But you better have something more than that. You better have something, buddy, that goes deep down inside your soul and that makes you shout for joy and to be glad that you know him and the free pardon of sin. I was thinking about, you know, in the lesson that we're living in, and, you know, there's a lot of people don't like shouting at all. But I got news for you. There's 200 churches within driving distance here, just a short distance, that don't like shouting, they don't like preaching, and they don't like anything that stirs up their normal lifestyle of living. See, in this lesson that we're talking about, let me say to you, be glad in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Shout in the Lord, if you will, please. And let me tell you what it does is, shouting is a manifestation of the heart, and it'll cause you to recognize and know that he is God. Besides him, there is none else. Now, one of the reasons why we ought to shout, because of the blessings of God that's been bestowed upon us. I got to tell you, God's dealt bountifully with us, has he not? And let me tell you right now is we ought to be able to rejoice from the heart, and we ought to be able to shout because of the Bible, because it's the word of the Lord. We ought to be able to shout because of the fact of the new birth that we've been washed by the blood and born into the family. We ought to be able to shout because we're waving that blood-stained banner and proclaiming the name that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 33, about verse number 21, he talks about worshiping God. He talks about, you'll find, waiting upon the Lord. And let me tell you, we always want to try to get a hold of something and get ahead of God and try to hurry him along. But what we better do is just be still and know that he is God. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we ought to rejoice because we've trusted in the name of the Lord. The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Amen. And I'll tell you what ends up happening is that you're going to find, let everybody that names the name of Christ rejoice and be glad and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, every now and again, we get a little bit draggy, and that's the reason why over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 85, about verse number 6, here's what he said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I remember years ago, whenever I was but a younger preacher, I remember when my dad, before he had ever passed off and passed on, but I remember a story that he used to tell. He said a man and a woman was there in church, and of course they'd been working on the man quite a while. He always had some kind of convenient excuse. You and I know people like that. And anyhow, he got under bad conviction. And he was standing there and trembling in an invitation song and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please fill me. Please fill me. And his wife said, standing there by him, don't do it. He leaks. I got to tell you, I don't want to be a leaker. I want to be able, Lord, fill my cup and do like you did with the psalmist David and let it run over, if you will, please. And like Miss Karen sings, I'll drink from the saucer because my cup is overflowed. I want to say in closing that if you will please, the Bible says that you and I ought to recognize and know that Psalm chapter number 40, there's a passage I wanted to read before we close. But in Psalm chapter 40, it's about verse number 16, if I remember right. Yes. It says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now, I got to tell you right now, getting saved to change your life in a good sense. And let me say, I remember when many of you got saved. I remember whenever that we've had some folks that love the Lord that that absolutely just came lock, stock, barrel, selling out to God and said, Lord, here am I. Save me and send me and use me for the glory of God. I never will forget is that some of the things that have transpired and took place in the lives of many that, well, of you that are here, I got to tell you right now, here's my question. Maybe you're saying, preacher, it's not me. Well, do you want to be saved? Because if you do, you can be. If you don't want to be saved, you don't have to be. But you're fooling nobody but yourself. See? And I want to tell you something is that if you want to be saved, you've got to finally admit you're not and come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar and ask Him to save your soul and to have mercy upon you. I want to tell you, you never condemn a person that's trying to keep you from going to hell whenever you die. Never condemn that. You know, I've heard people that made statements like this here, well, you know, I don't want to go to church. I already know how I'm not living right and doing right, and I'm not walking right and spitting white and all that, and I'm not planning on changing. And that's all they want to do is try to get me saved. Never condemn people that know the Lord who are concerned about your soul that would like to see you miss hell and make heaven. Yes, sir. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice in His name. Amen. Are you saved? If not, maybe God's pounding on your heart and you ought to wake up and you ought to pay attention to that. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank You for the good singing that we've enjoyed tonight, for the good word of the Lord. Now I pray Your blessings upon us as we get ready to leave from here. Lord, these special requests that we've rendered unto Thee, may You meet them in accordance to Thy word.